Welcome to Security Guy Radio's at ASIS 2016. What's your name, sir?
Thank you. My name is Maarten Meijwaard. I'm a Dutch guy from the Netherlands.
A Dutch guy from the Netherlands.
Dutch guy from the Netherlands, yeah. I work for NeedApp, which is a Dutch company.
And what do you guys do?
We do long-range identification of vehicles and people in all sorts of ways. We've got readers that you can use to identify vehicles, for example, that are approaching a perimeter.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah.
It identifies it approaching. Long range, explain that.
Long range, about so we can support reach range of about 33 feet using a microwave technology or UHF technology.
Okay.
So there would be something sitting in the car, like a transponder
right.
or maybe like a UHF stick attack, and that would identify the vehicle. And then basically our business model is that you could connect these readers to any type of access control system. So we've got a lot of clients that use a variety of access control systems,
okay.
And we make sure that our readers are
easy to
integrate.
So you're not proprietary, you're agnostic, and you can plug and play and stuff. Okay.
Yeah. And we try to. Yeah.
This proximity, the farther you're away, gives you more time. More time gives you the ability to make a decision. And if you got 10 seconds to say, wait a minute, that car's not supposed to be here, you're safer. So I really like this technology because the distance creates safety.
Exactly.
That extra time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying out to 30 feet?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty far.
It is pretty far.
Are you one of the leaders in that? I haven't heard of people. I've heard of people at 10 feet, but 30s.
No, I think there's a lot of technology you could use actually to get that read range.
Right.
And even in reality, very often you have to limit it a little. So we also have a squelch option to limit the read range. And it's not just about the read range; it's also about the way you configure that reader to support that application
okay.
well. And we very often look at the user, the user perspective. Because I feel if we, we've underserved our users somewhat in the industry over the past decades. But if you add a little convenience to the systems that your users are using, it will actually enhance the security levels.
Right.
Because people are more supportive of the systems that they use. It's like the old paradigm. If you've got a security door that's not working properly, what will they end up doing? You'll just open it up.
That's
and
right.
you've lost
exactly.
your access control.
That's exactly what they do, yeah.
And that's what we're trying to prevent. So it
right.
should be okay for people to use that system, make it convenient, so actually more supportive of the security systems in the first place.
And now, is this more specific to certain type of applications? In other words, I used to work at the studios, right?
Right.
We'd have thousands of people a day coming in.
Right.
Probably not the right application for this. With that high volume or not?
Well, there's a number of ways you can actually identify vehicles. So that's why we offer different types of technologies.
Okay.
So if you've got like a fixed population, like with the police, or maybe ambulances, maybe in defense sites, you could use the high-end microwave-based system, which just work all the time. It's really robust. If you like a more volatile population of people that are visiting now and then.
Yeah, mixed up, yeah.
We, for example, also support license plate recognition. So you could just identify people using the license plate. And then
and just they're
that.
Cleared because the plate's good.
Exactly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Or we could use, we don't only do it for vehicles, but also for people. That same technology.
Okay.
So we support a longer read range than what you normally would get in the security industry. So you add a little convenience for the users inside the building as well, not just for the cars.
Right.
So for example, you could use the mobile phone and still use Bluetooth, for example. And then get a read range of about maybe 10 feet, if that's mm-hmm. what you want, or maybe 5 feet or slightly more.
Are we moving towards the mobile phone mm-hmm. as the ID card? And it's your everything, right? Are we finding more applications that use that as the access control card?
Yeah, I think so, because it's making absolute sense. I always use an example. If I'm driving towards my job, for example, to the office, and it would be an hour drive, and I'm halfway, and I forgot my access control card, I wouldn't turn around because I would find someone else to open the building for me.
Exactly, and then you breach your security because somebody let you in.
Exactly,
yeah.
So that goes to security. If I lose my phone, I would turn around because there's all the stuff that I cannot do, including
right.
calling. Sometimes we forget.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, yeah.
It also makes it more convenient. If you look in your wallet, you would probably have a dozen different cards in there, credit cards, but also access control cards, maybe loyalty cards. They would all use maybe RFID or barcoding. So we've got so many identifying credentials with us nowadays that we need more convenience also in the way we distribute them and the way we carry them.
Right.
And the mobile phone enables that. And we don't foresee that all these PVC cards will be replaced by smartphones just like that. It's gonna take years. And I think in many years ahead of us, we will have a mix of mobile phone and all sorts of credentials being used. And that's what we're trying to support.
Now, can you get two-way authentication with your readers, though? In other words, let's say I stole somebody's card and I'm 30 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see my face because the face is kind of a double check. Let's say I got a guard at the door.
Yep.
I know Chuck, but wait a minute, that doesn't look like Chuck and it's a different card. Do you tie your your access into any other authentication? Would you match it to, you know, the phone and the card or something?
Yeah, I think the current approach with that is that we try to keep things simple for people.
Okay.
So it's easy to integrate our products. So we focus on a straightforward implementation of it, which very often leads to one type of identification.
But the end user could have their own system behind there that does it.
Exactly.
You're agnostic. In other words, you're plugging on to their system to make it convenient. You're adding distance, which is great.
Exactly. So
they have something else.
Yeah. Now, with a mobile phone, it's probably going to change a little because people are looking for more integration with that. So we do foresee some versions popping up probably in the next month. Maybe we'll support maybe a PIN code as a second alternative, or maybe the fingerprint, or maybe facial recognition.
Do you have any challenges in different countries where the laws say you can or can't do something?
Mm-hmm.
Because different, like Germany, for example, very restrictive on what information you can and can't save. Mm-hmm. Yours, I'm assuming, is the hardware, but the data is being was being stored and owned by your client.
Yes.
Now, you're not saving my ID information on your system. It's on their system. You're just giving them a hardware that lets them do it.
Yeah, that's recognize. Our approach. Yeah.
Okay.
We do need a little information to be able to send you that information, send you that credential. In the first place, but it could be anonymized. We don't need your personal information to do that. And also with the smartphone, because you have that processing capabilities in the smartphone, you could do that multi-factor authentication in the phone on the full control of the user. So if we would enable, let's say, a second factor authentication with a PIN code, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Your facial recognition might be a problem. But if you would support a local enrollment for that user, which is verified by the company that we're supporting, we don't need to know your face, or we don't need to know your personal data. So it's with the user, and they're in full control.
Now, can you use any of your hardware for asset tracking?
Yeah, that's a question we get a lot. And the answer is yes. But we definitely try to focus on security and maybe parking management applications.
Okay.
Because there's a wide variety of RFID readers available. There's a number of things you can look at. To find the right reader for the right application.
Okay.
So you could use it for asset tracking, and especially UHF readers.
I'm thinking if you already have the system in the building and it's doing employees and cars, let me put a couple inside my computer system or something. I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. In theory, yes.
Yeah.
In theory. Practicality may be different. But,
okay.
Okay. But it's certainly something to that's possible.
All right. Beautiful. Give us the name of your company again.
It's NEDAP.
Spell that for me.
NEDAP.
Okay.
Yeah. We are in the U.S. based in Branson, Missouri.
Oh, Branson, Missouri. That's a cool place.
Yeah. It's a really cool place. Yeah. Well, Las Vegas for families. Yeah?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it's needapp.com.
Yep. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. And your name one more time.
Maarten. May Maarten.
Thanks for coming on Security Radio. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Nice meeting you.
Very good. Excellent.